This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Happy Friday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 3rd. Happy New Year! Episode 2341, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Happy New Year! Another year has gone. New day's just begun.
Woo! It's 2020. Oh my God. I was sitting there, Chad and I were reminiscing about where we were when like everybody was terrified of the Y2K happening. I'm probably dating myself, but if you're
were you like 12 then?
No, I was in a bar. I'll tell you that. And I remember being, it's like my favorite bar in Decatur, Georgia. Oh my God. And so anyway, we're sitting there and what, you know, and then we're all waiting for like the world to end and nothing happens.
No,
and so like,
but here, I was 20 years later,
you'll always remember where you were when 2000 hit. And then now 2020, what? Where is the time going? Slow down.
It is. It is. You know, that old saying is true. The older you get, the faster it goes. It is true.
Of course it's true. Lucas said to me, he goes, Mom, I've learned something. Years go by really fast. And I was like, you have no idea.
He's what, seven?
He's six and a half.
That's funny.
Unbelievable.
When I was all in right. school, years never seemed to go by really fast.
No, crawled by. When summer. Jeez.
Never did. Well, we want to give our best. Gosh, there's a story that's been unfolding over the last 4 weeks, and we haven't been here for two of it. And that's Australia is burning down. It is incredible, the number and the size of the fires that are happening across Australia. I read this morning that they estimate that there's been over a half a million animals lost between the animals and the koalas and the kangaroos and the birds. Apparently, birds are just falling out of the sky, dying from smoke inhalation. And it's a terrible, terrible situation in Australia right now. We're going to try and get somebody on from there next week to talk more in depth about what is actually going on there from somebody who's actually there. So we're going to work on that for next week. But our thoughts and prayers, we have a lot of listeners down there. So
I'm so sorry, you guys. Oh, man. I mean, I was reading that the fires in California, just to make it a little more like the fires in California are 10% of what is going on in Australia. It's insane.
I know. It's crazy. The size of them and the amount of houses that have been lost and just property destroyed. It's incredible. So our thoughts are with them right now in Australia.
And we also have to send a little shout out. So when I went to the makeover with Groot, one of our listeners came and helped. Her name is Stephanie, and she is a very active auditor. We all have gotten to know through the auditor's Facebook page. If you guys aren't a part of that, you should be. Her horse, Luke. And Stephanie came and helped me, and we've become friends. And I want to give her, like, the worst... It's just the worst news ever that you could possibly hear as a horse owner. And she was, you know, at home and her barn owner called and her horse had a pasture accident and fractured his leg and had to be put down like immediately. And she couldn't even get there for it. So just one of the, I think, most devastating things that can possibly happen to you as a horse owner. And she had a great ride that morning, put him away and then left and it happened. And then Stephanie, I'm so sorry. We are all so sorry. We've all either been there or almost been there or had nightmares about being there. So we are sending you a big hug right now, wrapping you up, girl. And Luke knows how much you loved him. So hugs from all of us. And when we
ran our large boarding facility, we've had to make that call a few times, and that's not easy. And it's tough being the one that's there. It's also tough not being there. It's just a tough situation.
As the barn owner, you feel so like it's your fault. But, I mean, this has happened to, like, Teddy O'Connor. You know, and Zenyatta's baby had a pasture accident. I mean, it can happen anywhere to anybody. It's just one of those things, man. Every time you leave the barn, give your horse a kiss. Love your horses. Love your dogs. Love your people. Love your family. You know, just because you never know. Anyway, just sorry that this had to be a life lesson. Let's move on and talk about what's coming up on today's show, Glenn.
Well, on today's show, I thought it'd be fun. The first day back, we're having a returning guest. Her name is Crystal Kelly. She's founder of Equestrian Adventuresses. And last year, now get this, she rode in Greenland, Slovenia, Bhutan, and Ireland and Brazil. So she had a boring year, and we're having her on to talk about it. So she gets to ride in all these.
I'm exhausted hearing that sentence.
She's living every horse girl's dream, riding around the world. So we're getting on to talk about her year. She also has a new podcast she started called Equestrian Adventuresses Podcast, and we'll talk to her a little bit about that as well. We have some really bad ads, the first ones of 2020 we're going to be going into. Plus, Jamie and I will be talking a little bit about our vacations, what's coming up here on Horses in the Morning this year, some new things we want to add to the plate, and also, Jamie's working with some new horses as well. So all of that coming up on today's show. But first, as always, my daily Winnie's getting caught up.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to our otters, Ina Adams, Katya Korsh, and Chantel Gilliland. Happy birthday to all of you. And also a very happy birthday to Neil's wife, Noemi, he's our editor for our shows here on Horse Radio Network and a good friend of ours, and she's a good friend too. So happy birthday to Noemi as well. And it is your turn.
Oh, my daily Winnie goes out to, and we'll talk a little bit about him too, but man, I'm so happy to be involved with the Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation. It's like fulfilling every little girl's fantasy of getting a new horse like every 3 weeks. So basically they're sending me horses to train, and they said they would like to send more than one at a time. And I said, I cannot do more than one at a time with having my horses as well. So I've got a new horse in training now, and I'm just having the best time playing with all these horses. So we'll talk a little bit more about them later, but I just wanted to give my daily Winnie to Horse and Hound. They are a very awesome organization, and they got a grant for training from the Humane Society, Horse Council, I think. Anyway, and so that's how they're spending their money, is sending me horses to play with, and I'm having the best time. It's so fun. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
All that training's coming into play.
Yeah.
Getting to use it. Well, we did some posts on the Auditor Room the end of last year, about what people wanted to see new in Horses in the Morning this year. And Jamie and I are going to be talking more about that in the coming weeks. But one of the things that we do know is that this is the third presidential election year we're going to be on the air. And we know that in years past, during presidential election years, we've had multiple people say, we get the most comments
during election year. Like, everybody's so happy and super relaxed, and everybody's really positive and says nice things about the other party. It's really awesome.
It's really awesome. But people write to us and say, they listen to our show to get away from all of that. And as you know, if you're a regular listener, we don't talk about politics on this show. And we aren't going to talk about
politics. I don't talk about politics with my husband.
I don't either. I don't talk about it in real life either. Because it doesn't, no matter what, it's not good. So this year is an election year. We know that. And we're going to help you get through it. We're going to be here for you again. We're going to be bringing you positive, happy thoughts. We're going to be talking about ponies. And we're going to be bringing on some new segments. One of them I thought we could do this year, because it is an election year and we're trying to keep you all happy and not depressed, is our happy story of the day. So our goal is that one of us at least find a happy story each day, and we'll tell it maybe toward the end of the show. At some point in the show, we'll talk about the happy story, and it can be a horsey or not, and it can be a happy story or story that will make you happy. one or the other. So it's just going to be positive and upbeat, and we hope that that helps you, you know, make each morning a little brighter. And also, we want to get our auditors more involved in the show. Marie was on the show yesterday. She popped in to talk about her trip to Aiken. So in many ways, we want to get the auditors more involved. We're looking at new monthly segments that, you know, we have the special episodes every month, and most of those are staying, but we're looking at bringing on some new ones of those and switching it up and changing things up a little bit there, too. So we're...
Glenn, it sounds like you've been drinking from the New Year's resolution Kool-Aid. You're like, let me tell you all the wonderful new things this year will bring.
Regular listeners know Jamie and I don't make resolutions, but we do make plans some.
Well, I made goals like 2 years ago. And so Chad has his like, okay, what are your goals? Because like, last year I was like, I'm getting this horse to the makeover. That's my goal. And every year I try to make a goal. And my goal this year is just to sell a damn horse. Good Lord, I have too many right now.
Make goal, make money.
Make some money. It's not even make money, just sell a horse.
It is funny because you and I kind of agreed on the resolution thing from day one. I don't know that we've ever done
resolution. You know why we agreed on the resolution? Because we both know we're already perfect.
That's it.
That's it. I'm like, I don't really need to improve upon my awesomeness already.
Actually, the truth is we're both suck at following through at anything. So that's the real reason. It's amazing we've kept this show going, actually, when you think about it.
You know what, Glenn? You say that we suck at following through with things. And I definitely, like... as a blanket statement, I feel like I'm pretty good at following through with stuff. You, however, are not. So I feel like my back hurts because I've been carrying your ass for 9 years.
It's probably
except
true,
this morning when he called me and he's like, hey, don't forget we have a show today. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
shoot,
where were you in the barn at that point?
But listen, let me tell you where I was. Okay. Here's the anti-daily Winnie. Here's your bad news story. Guess what? Zeus hurt himself. Wow. I know. Are you all shocked? Hashtag damn it, Zeus. Here's what he did. Do you want to hear how exciting this one is?
Yeah.
So I got one of those. This is like a long story. I'll make it quick. So I got one of those freaking nets for your round bale to slow feed round bale the food.
You didn't put Zeus out with that, did you?
No, God, no. I know better than that. But it's out in the pasture, and Drax has front shoes on, and so I had to separate him, so he is now in the pasture next to Zeus, as opposed to out with all the other horses. And apparently he and Drax and Zeus decided to fight over the fence. But they just play, you know, they're both, like, just very frantic, like, super busy, like, active horses, right? So they play over the fence, and I walk in the barn, and Zeus has like lacerations all over the right side of his face, like wounds, puncture wounds, scrapes, everything, like all of these wounds on the right, just one side of his face, and his eye is kind of like blinking a little bit and looks a little runny. I was like, son of a gun, like, what did you do? So I clean up all the lacerations as well as I could. And then, came back out that night, and he was still, I see him like 100 times a day, and it just looked fine. Came out the next morning, and there was like a bucket of cottage. This is really gross. Hopefully you're not eating. Cottage cheese like pouring out of his eye, right? It's like when that yellow goop just drips out of there. So, I have to, you know, of course, have
welcome
that out.
Welcome to the new year, everybody.
Yeah, good times. And stain the eye, and the eye is not involved. What he did was think about, like, okay, you're looking forward, and there's like the inside part of your eyelid and the outside corners of your eyelid.
Yeah.
He ripped it.
Oh.
He actually, like,
Do they have hydrocortisone for the eye?
He took the eyelid and like it ripped his own eyelid back. Like, so his eyeball is like bigger now, you know, it's like the space is bigger. I don't know if
can
I'm explaining it.
Can you take Mustangs back to the ranch and just let him loose in the wilds of Nevada? Do you think anybody would notice an extra one?
He's branded and he's in my name, so I might get in trouble. But I would never do that because I'd love him more than anything. But I got the clear, all clear to like start riding him at a walk in the pasture 3 days a week with the ultrasound. And I'm like, great. And
okay,
then he like rips his eyeball. And so if you have ever tried, thank God there was no scratch on the cornea. I have to take this silver sulfidizing cream and like jam it into the corner of his eyeball like five times a day.
Loves that, I bet.
Oh my God, he gave me a head injury this morning. I reached over and he just wham, bam, he slammed into the wall. This is the hardest medicating I've ever had to do. And it's like this horse that trusts me more than anything and loves me and apparently just hates me now because he sees me and he's like runs away and I have a peppermint wrapper and he comes back and it's not going well. It's pray for me and the horse, my horse is freaking corner of his eye.
How many days has Zeus actually been uninjured or sound in the last 2 years? 5, 6?
In the last 2 years, none. The last 1 year, none. He hurt himself last August. So it's been about 12 or 15 months, 16 months. Yeah. Before that, he was utterly perfect. But, when they tear a tendon.
When you could find him.
Yeah. Well, he was always in the grain bin.
All right, so that's something that we're going to do, and we'll make some new announcements as we go along here as well. But we are looking forward to a fun year here on Horses in the Morning, talking to a whole bunch of new guests and just having a good time with it. And we're going to hear first from one of our continuing sponsors, and that's Kentucky Performance Products.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
You know, you talk about horses not wanting to see you. Well, ours don't want to see us right now. They've learned that they hate staycations. They would rather we go away because we did a ton with our horses this break. And I think I was doing something with Scooter every other day, and she was riding Nigel almost every day. And yesterday, neither one of them wanted to see us at all. They just were not interested. So they hate vacations, and they really want us to go on a cruise again.
You have posted a lot of pictures of him being very active and you guys doing a lot of stuff. So I'm proud of you, bud.
I tell you what, he's so good now. We have a trainer that comes on the driving episode, and I said, what happened to my Hackney? Somebody replaced him. And she said something very interesting yesterday. She said, Hackneys take a long, long time to come around. But when they do, and they trust you, then they trust you. And it was the first time I thought about the fact that over the last couple of months, I think he is trusting me, because when there's something to spook at now, if I say, it's okay, Scooter, it's okay, he backs right down. And that's the first time he's ever done that. But I never put two and two together and like, oh, this pony's starting to trust me now. And she made a good point yesterday. She said, now you can start to trust him. And then it becomes a relationship. But she said, it takes a long time for Hackney ponies to get to that point. I said, yeah, I didn't know that. And she said,
I was going to say, did you know that about that breed?
No, I didn't know that. Because the last one I had, I don't think we ever got to that point. Now he was well trained, but he was just fast and reckless. But it's just like driving a plug now. He's just become this plug. All the other horses are spooking at stuff, and he's just fine.
Well, you know what that means in my world. He's perfect. You should sell him and get something new and crazy.
No, I finally gotten to this point. I'm just happy. You know what else has happened over this break? We have new neighbors that moved in right on our street. I mean, like a house and three houses away that have horses, and they're super friendly and nice, and they're perfect to ride with.
What?
So Jennifer has riding buddies. We all go out together. We went out to dinner together the other night. This is probably the first place we've lived in 15 years that we've known the neighbors, number one, let alone liked them and did stuff with them. So it's amazing.
Sounds like a you problem. Anyway,
it might be. It very well could be. But it's just nice to have, they're quiet riders and they're good riders and they like going out on adventures, but not crazy. It's just perfect. And one of them is the one that owns Ricky Bobby. So the little mini.
Good. I'm glad you have friends. It's important, to have people.
But friends that live on the same street, that never happens.
That ride kind of at the same level.
Yes.
I mean, that's awesome.
It is awesome. So, that's a first, too. And Jennifer's so happy about that. So she has somebody to ride with. Very cool. Yeah, so we had a really good, relaxing break.
I just got invited to dinner. Like, I'm so social now. My farrier and her boyfriend just invited Chad and I to dinner.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Again, I am friends with the people. I know. I'm friends with people that I pay.
You pay. I thought about that.
I guess we should take her to dinner. She won't leave us alone.
Now, we did not get a report. You talked a lot about the mug that you were giving your veterinarian. And we never got a report on the veterinarian getting the mug.
Oh my God, she loved it. I mean, what's not to love? Again, it was a coffee cup with a horse and it said other vets. And then there on the other side of the mug, it said you, and it was a unicorn on a stripper pole. Like, I mean, that's great. She died. She thought it was hilarious. So Christmas was good. Christmas was good for everybody. I got a new vacuum. Which
is that a hint?
So actually, I would like to report that I got a vacuum and it's so easy to deal with and quiet that Chad has been vacuuming like every day.
What?
He's like,
what
this is the greatest. Get? Hey, Chad.
You don't know, do you?
What kind of vacuum did we get?
That's funny.
A Dyson.
Oh, yeah. They're nice. You got a good vacuum. Yeah,
I did. Yeah. Apparently they were on the Black Friday special and my mother-in-law was like, do you need a vacuum? And I was like, probably.
What's it like getting a vacuum from your mother-in-law? Is that a big hint?
Oh, God, yeah. But she bought one for my other two sister-in-laws, too.
Oh, okay.
So it was like the universal gift.
That makes it better. She's not just targeting you for your messy house.
I'm sure she was, but she's like, how can I soften the blow?
Well, let's talk about you shipped a horse out and got a new horse in for training.
Yes, I had this, the last horse I had, his name was Onita Ridge. I called him Ridge. He was gray, like kind of strawberry roan gray. And he came to me with the issue of being a bucker and a non-loader. Okay. And it took me, 45 minutes to get him in the trailer first off. And I mean, we don't bring wedge, just leading back and forth, back and forth, back up, forward, back up, come forward. And it's gravel and I don't like doing it. And it sucked. But I got him in after 45 minutes and just close the door. Like, I'll work on it when we get home kind of thing. So his kind of life story is he had been adopted out and then returned and adopted out and returned. Both people returned because he bucked him off. So to me, when a horse bucks, horses don't want to exert extra energy if they don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want to run hard. Horses are energy conservers. So a horse that bucks is trying to tell you something, or they figured out that that's the best way to conserve energy is they buck you off and you don't do anything. Excuse me. So I have a little allergies today. So I get on the horse. He bucked the bear, rode him. Like, we did all the long line join up. I start everything with the join up because then they know that they can trust you. So you start with the join up and then I did some tacking and long lining and put the bear on him and no problems at all. Nothing happened. He was perfect. Walk, trot, canter. And so I got on him and then I asked him to move forward and he didn't go anywhere. And so what I realized is nobody had ever taught him what leg pressure means. So probably these people that took him, you know, when you get a horse off the track, they don't know what legs mean. Nobody's wrapped their legs around the sides of this horse. So you have to reteach them, squeeze with the legs. They move forward one step, release your legs and praise them. You know, I mean, it gets as basic as that. So I taught him all that, but I realized in his GI tract, his gut, he was not comfortable. The first time I grained him, I would grain him and then he would take a bite and go to the middle of the stall and colic and then go back and take another bite and then go and paw and bite his belly, then keep eating. So obviously eating was uncomfortable. Am I giving you too many details? Am I taking too long, Glenn? I'll speed it up.
Okay.
So basically, I thought I'm going to teach him voice commands. So I taught him with the voice commands in the round pen, clucking and kissing for the canter, two clucks for the trot. Let's go. That means trot. So I taught him all that, got him walk, trot, canter, and I got him very nicely, like kind of moving forward into these transitions. But the canter, if you would canter more than like 3 or 4 strides, he'd buck. And to me, it was like this buck of like, ow, because he didn't do it when he didn't have a rider on. So a listener of our show, who shall remain nameless, an anonymous donor, messaged me and offered to pay for acupuncture and chiropractic. Really? Can you believe that? Yes. Oh, wow. For him, because he needed it. And that's the rescue can't afford to do that. And I can't afford to do it. So she paid for it. And so he got his first
acupuncture. Thank you, whoever that was.
Yes. I'm so happy. I cried. It was like on Christmas. Oh, yeah. But bawling, you know. And so we got that done. Wow, what a difference it made. And he would walk, trot, canter, and leap off. I do think that he probably needs a little more workup, like just some flexions and stuff like that, to see kind of pinpoint where the discomfort is coming from. But man, he was a different horse. And I got on him 2 days later, or the next day, got on him, walk, trot, canter, no problem. So I was like, okay. I jumped him a little bit. Like, he was great. I was like, you're done. That's all I really need to do is get him walk, trot, cantering, maybe jumping a little bit, doing like being a generally good citizen. So I just got the next horse in, and his name is Valid's Final. And what's interesting about Valid's Final is he is the final foal of a horse named Valid Expectations, which is some fancy thoroughbred. And so Valid's Final is the last ever foal, and Valid Expectation, apparently all the polo players like the babies from Valid Expectations. So I've contacted a couple polo players to tell them, hey, I've got the last foal of Valid Expectation. His name is Valid's Final, like final foal. And if you're interested, he's sound, he's sane, and he's really easy to be around. His story is he got adopted out to somebody. I actually looked at this horse when it chose Groot last year. And since then, he got adopted out to some barrel racers. They apparently had him running the pattern in 2 weeks. He was doing amazing. And then the rescue got a call and said he's in the Kaufman Kilpin. She tracks down the girl. She's like, oh, I gave it to a friend. It was supposed to be a good home. So the rescue, this is how awesome Horse and Hound is. This horse is in a Kilpin in Texas. We're in Oklahoma. She has to buy him for $1,500 back from the Kilpin people. By the way, it's such a scam. They buy the horse for $1,500 and have to pay $500 to have him shipped. So now Valid's Final has cost her an extra $2,000 to get him back from the first person who adopted him. And I'm sure she took her to court. I didn't ask any of the follow-up questions like that. So this poor horse has been to the track, was very successful at the track, went to the rescue, got adopted out, sent to a kill pen, now brought back, and now he's with me. There's just, every horse has lived 100 lives. It just seems like, you know, the more you find out their stories. So I will keep you guys up to date on Valid and let you know. I'm going to ride him today. He's really been a pleasure to work around. So I'm going to get on him today and let you know how it goes.
Very good. Well, speaking of riding, we're going to talk to a girl here in a second who has ridden all over the world, and she didn't stop last year. She rode in 5 countries, because that's what all of us do. And we're going to talk to her in a minute, but first, State Line Tax. It's that time of year. They're having their super clearance sale, up to 77% off on blankets, outerwear, Western boots, horse boots and wraps, Western tack, breeches and tights, their holiday stuff, helmets. All of that is on sale right now for up to 77% off. Bits and
much
footwear.
Like saddle pads, I have a blanket problem, and there's a blanket sale. Oh my god.
Well, they also have saddle pads on sale, I will mention. They're up to 50% off too. So like the Roma quilted pads are on sale for $20. So yeah, you might not want to go there today.
I'm on State Line now.
Yeah, you can really go there today. They also have bags and carry-ons. I'm telling you, they have a ton of stuff right now in the clearance section because it is the end of the year. Next week, we're going to WESA, which is the Western English Sales Association out there in Denver. It's the big trade show. So we're meeting them there, actually, and they'll there be buying new stuff. So they're trying to get rid of the old stuff. Go right now to StateLineTac.com and check out the clearance sale going on today. All right, let's get our guest on here today because I'm so excited to have her on. She's been on with us before, and she is living every girl's dream, and that is riding cool horses including her own, all over the world. And she happens to be in the United States right now, so we're going to give her a call and get her on. Her name is Crystal Kelly, and she's founder of Equestrian Adventuresses. Hi, Crystal.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. It's good to have you back. I was just reading Every Place You Rode last year, and I'm just tired.
Yeah, I went to a few places.
Yeah, you did. I don't even know where to start with you. First of all, congratulations on starting a new podcast. That's terrific.
Yeah. Thank you. So now I know how much work it is.
Yes, you know what we go through every day.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So for people who haven't heard you on the show before, why did you start this big traveling adventure life of yours?
Well, personally, I left the U.S. about 10 years ago. I always wanted to work overseas with horses, and so I did. And then it was last year that I actually decided to create the whole Equestrian Adventuresses community. And that sort of came because I had been, 10 years traveling around with horses, and I was always independent and solo. And although I was connecting with like the locals and the local women and trying to get them to ride and everything, I still felt like I really wanted to have this community. And so that's why it sort of started. And actually, Equestrian Adventuresses, it's not really about my stories at all. It's sort of about other women's awesome adventures, which is great because it takes the pressure off of me. I can just share their stories and interview them on the podcast or film them on our YouTube show. And yeah, so it's been a lot of fun just sort of connecting with a lot of women in a lot of different countries.
So there's and more of this, you out there?
Oh my God, there's a lot of us. Yeah, we're growing. We're growing every day. Our Facebook group has grown quite a bit since I started it. So we have 4,000 members now, and they're just always sharing their photos and everything and their stories. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the boring one.
Well, let's talk about some of the places that you've ridden in the last year. And let's start with you rode your own horses places too this past year, right?
Yeah, I actually just got done with an adventure with them. They were in England. That's where I had been living. But we basically moved out, me and my husband. We took our horses across the ferry over to Ireland, and we rode them from the south to the north, which took about a month and a half. So we had our own. We were unsupported, so we didn't have a horse trailer or something like that. We didn't have any backup. We basically had to knock on people's doors, like just total strangers' houses, and see if there was a field for the night for the horses and a place for us to throw our tent. So
how'd that go? I got to hear about that. How'd that go?
I feel like it could only work in Ireland because the Irish people are just so friendly. We've had maybe two nights where we felt like, oh my God, we're not going to get a place to stay. And that was quite worrying because it's not about us. It's about our horses, right, my God, what are we going to do? We can't just stand on the side of the road with our horses all night. But actually we always found a place in the end. The Irish people are just so friendly. I mean, like the friendliest people you could ever think of. And every night we were with different people, and they the stories they shared with us, and they would invite us in, some of them, and have tea or offer us dinner, or sometimes we stayed in these beautiful cottages that they had just extra on their property. And so just the friendliness of Ireland, I mean, that was really what made the trip.
You should have been recording with every one of those along the way. You would have had a separate podcast just for that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, it's true. So we didn't, I didn't make podcasts with them, but I was filming our adventures, which is on our YouTube channel. So we have a few episodes out on our YouTube channel, and Ireland's a beautiful country. I was surprised riding through there. I don't know what movies I've been watching in Ireland, but it wasn't anything like what I thought it was. It wasn't just sheep fields. It actually was so stunning. And I was mostly on Western Ireland, and we kind of went through the middle a little bit. And yeah, it was so, so beautiful.
And you're in Ireland, so you didn't spend any time in any pubs, I'm sure.
No. Yeah, of course we did.
That's what there is to do in every town in Ireland, is there's one pub, and that's exactly where people go.
And that's the thing. And there's no grocery store. Yeah. No. So if you're in a village, there is a pub, and that's it. So,
that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. So that's pretty
what we
much
learned in Scotland too when we were there. It's like, oh, where do you go? Well, everybody goes to the pub. That's just, there's no chain restaurants. Everybody's at the pub.
Yeah, and you know what? For us, it worked out because, like I said, we have to knock on doors and find a place to stay. So if we were near a village, the first thing we did was went to the pub. You know, one of us held the horses while the other one went inside and just spoke to the people in the pub like, hey, do you guys know somebody that has a field? And one night it was actually the pub guy. He's like, yeah, we have a cow field behind the pub. Go ahead, throw them out there. So, you know, the pub was actually the best place to go and network with people.
You're right about that, though. Ireland, Scotland, countries like that would be the perfect place to do that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure you'd get the same reception in some other countries.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like,
welcome
I'm not
to
sure
Kazakhstan.
If it would work everywhere.
Please, come on through.
Now, yeah. You also rode in Brazil, too?
Yeah. I went, and it's funny. They have every year, it's an endurance ride. I had never heard of it before. It's 750 kilometers long. And it's with Criollo horses, with their local breeds. It's like, it's actually sort of, the Gauchos are really proud of it because they're competing with all of their mares, and the winners are the people or the horses that complete. It's like their right to breed, sort of. So it's very, important to them.
So this is not and like so, the Mongol Derby where you're switching horses every 25 miles.
No, it's one horse and it's for 15 days. The horses only have one day off. They're not allowed to have special grain or supplements or anything like that. So they have to just eat the grass. And yeah, they actually rest, I think it's 20 days before the marcha and 20 days after the marcha. So the first day that you ride the horses is the day of the competition. So yeah, you're getting on these super fit, well-trained endurance horses after 20 days of holiday, and you're just going. But yeah, they're super well-trained horses. These, you know, they know their job, they know what to do. And so I got invited to come and participate. I wasn't competing officially, so I actually swapped between two horses because I didn't have a marcha fit horse. But I got to ride with these gauchos, and it was so much fun. It was a lot of fun, and I was so impressed with these Criollo horses. I couldn't believe how amazing.
Are they
amazing.
Smaller, or are they? What size are they?
They're, I would say, about like 14 to 15 hands. Yeah, they're not super big. Some of them are quite stocky. We had one stallion in the whole group, and it's funny because I was talking to one of the vets, and he said, stallions don't usually finish. So almost everyone has a mare, and yeah, they're not like super big, these horses, but they're big enough.
Well, there's the kudos to the women in the group, huh?
Yeah. And actually, so I was sort of invited by a Brazilian girl. And so she was there. She was kind of, you can share riders with one horse. So she was sort of sharing with her trainer. And she's also a vet there. And so it was a lot of fun. I mean, she had to translate for a lot of it because none of them spoke any English. And my Spanish/Portuguese is basically non-existent. But you know what, once you're on the horse and you're kind of riding along with him, you can just kind of mime and gesture and you're just laughing and having a good time. So
what was the countryside like there? What kind of countryside did you ride through?
Well, it starts every day from the same place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're not crossing Brazil, unfortunately, but you're going, they kind of have designated like track, let's say. You ride through the village and you go out into the countryside and you see kind of some of the estancias and stuff along the way. And then you kind of go, and if it's every day, you have sort of a different amount of kilometers that you're covering. You have one ride in the morning and one in the afternoon. So if it's a day where you're covering 70K, you ride out and then you turn around and you come back. So yeah, you're not going very far, but it was more about, I think, it was sort of about the experience and the culture to see. It's an actual endurance race. This is not a touristy thing.
Right.
So I was sort of documenting it, and I met a lot of women. They're actually from Uruguay, and then also this, obviously, Brazilian girl. They came just to watch the marcha because it's a huge thing there. I mean, it's very, very big. And especially the last day, the day where they kind of race it out, you know, for the win. And yeah, all of these women that have competed in it, like, they shared their stories with me, and it was really, really interesting to hear their side of it, you know, because when you think of South America, I think you think of it as being gauchos and men riding horses. So it was really cool to actually speak to them and interview them on camera, to hear their story and to try and encourage other girls, like, come on, you know, we don't bite.
That's interesting, because when we, the way I've heard of this before was from, I think it was the Chile or the Brazilian endurance team that were at WEG last year or 2 years ago now. And we got a chance to talk to them, and they were telling us all about that. And all about this particular race that they do. And this is something that they, if you're an endurance rider down there, that's what they talk about. It's kind of their Tevis Cup, you know? It's,
Yeah, it's huge for them. That is like, whatever, the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah. Well, that's cool that you got to experience that. That's really neat. And now we have time to talk about one more, and you have a choice between Greenland, Slovenia, and Bhutan, which I know you've been to before.
I want to hear about Greenland.
Oh, yeah,
I have a question first. So you go to these places. It sounds like that one, not so much. But I have a hard time riding in other countries because I feel like they don't always take care of the horses the way that, I don't know, should be taken care of, or would be like a minimum bar of level of taking care of horses. What do you do when you come across that?
Well, firstly, I'm not riding at places where the horses are not up to standard. Period. Okay. I don't do that.
Have you ever gotten somewhere and you've seen the horses and you've left?
I don't. So when I was working full time, I was a show jumper. I wasn't going on touristy things. I've never done that before. I was going and working with horses in different countries. And I was specifically hired, like when I was in India or Egypt, for example, I was hired to manage the stables and make it FEI standard. Make it European standard. They had unlimited money. They said, build an arena, do this, hire people, train them. I had to just do that. So I made it up to standard, and I refused to accept anything less than that. I mean, obviously, you know, you have to, I think, accept that some cultures are just a bit rougher. I mean, men in general. So if you go to Mongolia, you will see them a little bit rougher than what you would think. But where I was, you know, if I'm in charge, I'm teaching the men and the staff how to work with the horses. So, you know, you don't have something like that. And when I would travel also, if I saw, for example, at the Taj Mahal, it breaks my heart when I see it, these like little thin horses pulling the tourists to the Taj Mahal, that breaks my heart. And what I would do is I would just approach the local, like if I saw that the bit was on weird or the bridle was hanging off of their face, I would actually go up to that guy, and I spoke a little bit of Hindi, like enough that I could kind of try and convince him or ask him for permission that I could at least adjust it or something, you know. Like, I think it's lack of education a lot of the places, so it's not that they're purposefully mean, it's that they don't know and they don't have the equipment. So usually I try just by talking to them or trying to educate them a little bit. Or, you know, it depends on how long I'm in a place. But for example, if I'm going to Greenland, it's with a legit place. I know that the horses are super healthy and well cared for. I'm not going to go riding around for a week if they're not up to standard, period. So, yeah.
Well, that's nice. I just remember I went to Jamaica and I was like, oh, ride horses on the beach. I was like in my early 20s, and we got there and the bus dropped us off and left. And we get over there and I'm like, oh my God, these horses have like open sores on them, you know, and like, I couldn't just stand in the barn with the other cowboy guys who were standing around looking, you know, I don't know. So I had to get on this horse. And what I did is I just cantered him up and then let him graze until everybody caught up. I was like, here, just eat as much as you can, go. But yeah, it's situations like that. Like, it's just really, really frustrating. You know, after that, I was like, I'm not riding in other countries anymore, but it sounds like you've got it handled.
Well, so the question of interest is, I actually made on our website, it's totally for free. Anyone can download it. It's a list of over, I think, 450 some odd stables in over 180 different countries. I haven't seen all of them with my eyes, but I've checked their websites, or I've spoken to all of them. I've sent them emails or whatever. And I kind of made this list so that people that want to travel, they can actually, and in our group too, our Facebook group, if they see somebody in the list and they're like, hey, I want to ride in, I don't know, whatever country. And I saw this in this place. Has anyone else ridden there? And what did you think about it? So you find that a lot in our Facebook group. And we have a whole section on our website about responsible tourism and horse welfare. So how to know.
Perfect. Perfect. Oh my gosh. And what a good plug for your website.
It's like the Travelocity for, Travelocity for horse riding places around
basically,
the world.
Basically, yes. Yeah. So you don't have to go to a place that another girl like us hasn't already seen with her eyes, because somebody in our group has been there.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, and we have so many people that have stable. So actually, that's partly why I started. So I went to Greenland because I heard about this woman, Nasu, and she and her husband, Pitak, they started a horse riding thing in Greenland, and it's the only one. And so I was like, oh my God, this is like an amazing woman. She's doing what I love, and I need to go because I know how difficult it is in male dominated countries to, you know, be a woman starting a horsey business. So, you know, I went, and I went with a group of women, other adventuresses, and we went and we kind of rode around their farm, but also we went to other farms and we kind of stayed. And so we spent a week riding around on their Icelandic horses. And I interviewed her. Actually, we just released the YouTube documentary about it. And it's fascinating, like her stories, you know, that's why I went, was to talk to her. And, you know, how do you guys come up with this idea in Greenland? No one else is doing it. And, you know, from your perspective as a lady, you know, what's it like? And so I think it's important to kind of go and meet these people and talk to them and also support what they're doing. I mean, they're the only ones that are doing this. She got an award, actually, their tour program, because they came up with an innovative business idea in Greenland that other local Greenlandic people aren't doing. And they're doing it really well. So, you know, they don't know, they don't have like access to vets and things. So the guy, he has to shoe the horses himself and, you know, they have to do all their own vet care. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's European farrier job, but the shoes look fine. The horses their sound is, you know, they're wild mountain ponies basically. And it's just like a beautiful place to go and ride horses. So why not go and support them?
Very, very cool. I love it. And what's the website again? Equestrian Adventure. I just signed up for my free ebook, by the way.
Oh, great. It's equestrianadventuresses.com. And from there, you can find our podcast or our YouTube show or, yeah, join our Facebook group.
Well, Crystal, this has been great. We'll have to get kind of keep up with you and some of your travels, because I'm sure you've got a lot more stories to tell. But we appreciate you coming on, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you guys.
Thank Real you, quick, Crystal. What's your next place?
Well, now I have to find a place to live.
Okay.
So I'm going to go get my horses. They're still in Ireland. I was here in America visiting my family for the holidays. So I'm going to go grab my horses and we're going to move.
Oh, this sounds good. Come to Oklahoma. We got space. All right, girlfriend. Talk
thanks,
to you soon.
Crystal.
All right.
Have
thanks.
A good 2020.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break and hear from one of our terrific sponsors, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do some really bad ads, right? We have some, and we have our good story, too, to talk about. I have my happy story. Do you want to do a training question today or hold that for Monday? It's up to you.
Whatever you would like. We'll see what time. Well, how much time we have?
I think we have a few minutes, so let's do that. What the heck? Let's start the year off with everything.
Right now, or are you going to do commercial first?
We'll do the commercial right now.
We need a producer.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Well, this is time for my happy story. I need to make a bumper for this. So we're going to try and do a happy story every day.
Because I'm happy, clap along.
There you go. Thank you. And this is not so much a happy story as is it a story that will make you happy, or at least a certain number of you, and I know a lot of you. And I know a lot of you maybe drink a little wine. Some of you maybe drink a little wine every day. Well, there's a 280-year-old wine estate in Douro, Portugal, that has a 140-acre vineyard. Now, they do reds and whites and rosés and ports, and they grow grapes along their steep hills along the river. And now they have built a little bed and breakfast. But the bed and breakfast, the place you stay, are great big wine barrels. Yes, the places that you stay, the little huts you stay in, are great big round wine barrels. They have a bed in there. The front is a great big window overlooking the vineyards. And basically, you can sit on the front porch in their great big comfy chairs and drink wine all day while looking at the grapes. So, and they also have a restaurant, so you basically don't have to leave the place. You can get your food, you can sleep in your wine barrel, and drink all day. They also do have a walk-in shower, a bathroom, a front deck, so they're completely outfitted. It's not like you're going rustic, and a round bed. So there you go. Doesn't it sound idyllic for the wine lover in everybody's life?
We have talked a lot about traveling today, and, yes, and now I've got a lot more places to put on my list. And
by the way, I've seen the pictures of this place. It's absolutely beautiful. It's really beautiful. So if you like wine, go sleep in a wine barrel and stay in Portugal. And I'll post a link to it in our show notes in case you're interested. Now, it's not cheap. It'll cost you $250 a night, but I think that actually includes the wine. So there you go.
Oh, we can do some damage. Come on. That's nothing.
So there's a story that will make a certain number of you in the audience very happy. My happy story. All right, training question. Angela.
Okay, odd thing. I just got a message from the polo player who is interested in finding out about. I said, I know that polo players are really interested in this horse called Valid's. Get out. Sorry, dog. Valid's Expectation. I said, I know people are excited about it. Polo players love it. And he said, yes, a polo guy actually cloned him.
Huh.
What? Okay. Well.
Well, polo guys have money.
And question answered. Okay, here's the training question. You found it. You read it to me.
Yeah, Angela just put this up this morning on the auditor page. She said, what do you suggest for a horse that is terrible about hind feet anything? Wants to kick and bite anytime something is being done with the hind feet. Sometimes will threaten to kick and bite when right hind stifle is being touched.
Okay. I hate answering questions like this without seeing some video. But I'll do my best. Like, I always just, people answer training questions.
Well, we also don't know if the vet's been out. We don't have that piece either.
That's the thing, like, obviously, you know, but see, here's the thing about that is, yes, we need a vet to get out, but the vet's not going to get their head kicked in, you know, and check it out. Obviously, you'd have to date the horse first, and you might not get a good reaction. So the thing to do, answering questions like this online, I always feel like I need more information. So yes, we need a medical kind of evaluation. Was this a wild horse? Is this just a regular thoroughbred? Is this, what kind of horse is this? Sorry, Angela, I didn't have time to ask follow-up questions. But for a horse that is just totally fine, but doesn't want its hind feet touched, we have a very, very unique way of handling that. And it actually came from a guy named Richard Schrake, and Monty uses it and then has passed it on.
Yeah, Richard's actually been on our show before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So Monty always says that the best way, the best way to do something is the way that whoever's doing it the best. And so he's like, this guy had it figured out. And so you can go to like any pawn shop or a Goodwill or anything like that and find a cane, like a walking stick. Okay. And what you do with the cane, find the lightest weight one you can, but like it needs to be fairly sturdy, but lightweight, and it's a cane. And what you do is you get some duct tape. Okay. Follow me here. And you duct tape a glove on the cane, on the end of the cane.
I thought you were going to duct tape the cane to his leg.
No,
I was going, but that doesn't sound good.
So what we're making, we call it an artificial arm. Okay. So you're basically taking this cane. You can even get put sleeves on it and fill in the sleeves like paper, whatever you want to do to make it look like a giant arm. But the glove, the thumb of the glove needs to be over the cane area, because what you'll eventually do is you'll hook the cane part around the back of the foot to pick it up. So you've got this cane, you duct taped a glove on it, maybe a sleeve or something like that, make it look like a giant artificial arm. To me, I would rather have an artificial arm kicked than my face when it's down next to a horse that I can't pick up the foot. So what you do is you take the arm, and you have to desensitize the horse to it in general first, because they're going to see you coming at him with this like weird arm thing. And
I'd be worried.
Yeah. I mean, it's intimidating looking anyway. And so you start just kind of approach and retreat with it, get as close as you can. And then the horse is going to dance around and move around, and you just stay with it until the horse stops moving, and then you take it away. And that's kind of the whole pressure and release approach and retreat thing, is you go to them with it. You find the place that you're just kind of teetering on the verge of stress, and then you hold it there until they relax and it goes away. So they learn that as soon as they relax, whatever the threatening thing is, it goes away. So then they just learn to relax through new situations. And so you put it just behind their withers in that little place their mama scratches them. And you slowly, you know, as you make it bigger and you take it away, and then you go back to the withers and you rub it all over the body and you take it away. And eventually you take it over the hip and then away, and then back to the withers and over to the hip, and then back to the withers and over the hip, and then a little further down, and then back up and a little further down, until you're actually like rubbing the horse down the back of the leg with this artificial arm. Now, make sure, I would suggest a dually halter because you have a better control, but make sure that you've got your left hand on the horse is like, you know, easy to shorten and pull their head to you so the butt goes away, because if they do kick. But if they kick it when it's down there, try to keep it on there and let them kick it, let them kick it, let them kick it, let them kick it. And then they'll stop kicking, and then it goes away. And you go back up to the top, and you take it down. They're going to kick it and kick it and kick it, and you just keep it there, keep it there, keep it there. And then they stop kicking, take it away. And then they go down again, and they're like, pointless to kick it. It just keeps coming back, and then it goes away. And so anyway, approach and retreat with this artificial arm. It's like my favorite way. And eventually, because you've got that cane, you can kind of like use that thumb and kind of hook it behind their leg and encourage them to pick their foot up. Now, you are standing up in like a 45 degree angle by the shoulder. That's why you have a long cane, so it reaches back in the back, so you're not down there on the ground. Does all of that make sense, Glenn?
That makes sense, yeah.
Okay, if you want to see video of this, we do it with wild horses all the time. Just go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com, and Angela, feel free.
How do you know when it's the point where it's safe to go in yourself?
So when you have it going down and you can pick the foot up, then you put the arm away, and then you become the arm. And so you've got the horse in, holding the halter or the lead rope with your left hand, and you take your hand and you rub it down the hip. And away, and then down the hip, and further and further and further, until when you eventually go in to touch the foot, you've got the lead rope in your left hand, and your left hand is on their hip. So the rope is long enough to go from the horse's halter up to the hip, and you've got the lead rope there. And so you, when you go to lift up a horse's foot that could potentially react or kick, you have your left hand on their hip and you're reaching down like, and say you're on the near side, the left side. So you got your left hand on their left hip and you're reaching down with your right leg. If for some reason that horse kicks, your left hand is on the hip, so you can push yourself away and push the horse's hip the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So that's the safest way to introduce yourself. I'll try to make a video of it today, because that's how I start all these racehorses is, I don't know what they're going to do when I touch a hind leg. So I've got myself in a very safe position to pick up their feet. So I'll make sure I take a video of that today.
Does yours have a name, your hand?
I don't have an artificial arm because I haven't had one that was this bad. So what I do is I do a join up, and I do what we call vulnerable areas, where you kind of touch them everywhere and you kind of get an idea of their sensitivity. And when you do go to pick up the leg, I pick it up just like this. And if I only got halfway down the hock and they were kicking at me, then we're going to have an artificial arm. But no, Buck the Bear doesn't have an artificial arm yet. So far, I have plastic on a stick and Buck the Bear. I haven't had to make an arm yet.
And of course, we have to do the disclaimer that you really should have the source checked by a vet if you haven't. Too, because there may be something going on there, especially when she mentioned the stifle problem. So, you know, maybe the horse does have a stifle issue. Who knows? But
I mean, it could have had an old wound. Like I'm probably never going to touch Zeus's right eye or right side of his face ever again because he's got like PTSD about me touching this area, put medicine. And maybe something happened back there. Who knows? You know, that is some place where it could have been whipped.
We don't know if this is a thoroughbred. We don't even know what breed it is. You know, if it's a thoroughbred and maybe it had a lot of shots in the leg. You know, you never know where it's coming from.
I'm just giving you the blanket of like how to touch a horse's back feet that is healthy, so, you know, and wild, but you need to touch the back feet. So, gotcha.
Well, good. That was very good. All right, let's do some really bad ads. Our first of 2020.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for really bad ads. That time of the week when our listeners send in ads they usually find on Facebook or Craigslist, and we have a little bit of fun with them. Maybe they're not always perfect or just a little strange, and we just talk about them. We always give a prize away. What happens is everybody that submits a bad ad during the month, at the end of the month, we pull a name out of the hat and we pick a winner. This month's prize, I was cleaning out it's my office during the break and discovered that once I got into my closet, there was a lot of crap in there I need to get rid of. So we're going to do a box of crap. The coveted
and crap
prize.
Again is cool stuff. And
I got books too are going to be in there. I got books. I got stuff that I need to get rid of. And then we're going to the trade show next week. So we always get more crap. So, and this is actually, Jamie's right. It's actually nice stuff. So you'll get your box of crap. It's a coveted prize if you enter your bad ads for this month. And it looks
and
like
remember,
we're starting with Charlotte.
Yeah, if you record it yourself, you get
twice. We got
twice
a lot of those today. A lot of recordings.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, this one's yours.
All right, so we're starting with Charlotte. Sent in this one, and it appears to be from, I don't know what. And it says, from the Florida's Friendly Horse Group on Facebook. Well, there you go. Looking to get my first horse. Which one is the best one to get? I ride only Western and need it to be very laid back. That's it.
Okay, floodgates. I wanted how many millions of comments did this get?
I don't know. I wish I could read the comments because...
What's the best horse to get?
What's the best horse to get? It's like you're going to Amazon and there's all these choices of microphones. Which is the best microphone to get? It doesn't work that way with horses, people.
Just opinions saying. Are like, you know, we all have them. The next one came from Jennifer. Jennifer sent this
one in.
How
many dealers responded to that ad?
La, la. Oh, yeah. Well, we've got one of everything. Come on down.
Come on down.
This is horses, sales, and horse stuff for sale. This is a Facebook page.
I thought horses, this would have been taken down by now.
Sales and horse stuff for sale. I know, right? It says Jennifer sent it in. Hi, no punctuation. Hi, I'm looking for a horse that doesn't cost an arm and a leg, maybe around $100 to $200, has to be at least 16, huh? Because BC, my fiance is really tall. My fiance is 6'1".
So we and want a $100 to $200 horse that's 16, huh, for the fiance.
I would like to point out, can you tell me how many comments I listed
168. Again, why? The comments would have been better than the ad on this one.
Why are there 168 comments? Yeah, exactly. Y'all, if y'all see stuff like this, we need comments because that's the magic.
The gold.
What horse is the best? And then I need a horse for $100. I need more information.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right. The next one is submitted by Kaylin. And Kaylin sent this one in, so let's hear it.
Hello, this is Kaylin from Iowa, and I have a really bad ad.
Hi, Kaylin.
This is from a Iowa horse sales page. Lightning has to go. He is a 16-year-old gray quarter horse. He has been roped off of and is, all caps, very quick on his feet. He has two problems, dot, dot, dot. One, he does not like to pick up his feet for the farrier, or anyone for that matter. Two, he has to be ridden by someone who is not intimidated and has a strong hand. He is not kid broke or husband proof. He is constantly moving and loves to go, go, go. He is not afraid of anything. He can be difficult to catch until he gets to know you. I am to my limits with him, exclamation point. $500, exclamation point, exclamation point. Please PM me if interested. And it's a nice picture of a horse tied to a fence, and he's looking like he could use a new home. So that's my really bad ad. Thanks.
I got to, you know, you dropped the price to $200, and I have somebody to buy that horse.
Yeah, we do. We know somebody who'll give you their number.
All right. Monica sent this one in. Maybe.
Come on.
Come on, Monica.
You can. Hi, this is Monica calling from Vermont, and I have a really bad ad from Chunchula, Alabama. It's from Craigslist. Horse, $950. 8 years old, QH, 15 hands. I bought her a few weeks ago, paid $950 for her, just like my money back. She hates the bits I have, so we have been riding in a halter. I think if you knew what bit she rode in, she would be easier to stop. She just has a little more go than I'd like for me and my boys. She is hard to catch without feed, but laid back once the rope's on her. She was sold to me that she loads great. She did not much for us, but we have a small two horse. That's pretty scary looking. She neck reins and backs up. That's it.
We want our money back. I need a return policy, please.
That and the sentences weren't really connected to each other at all. There was like no smart flow whatsoever.
And I like, but the, you know, horses should come with the instruction manual, which bit they have, what saddle they should need. You know, they really should come with that manual when you buy them.
that's somebody bought a horse and just has buyer's remorse.
Yeah. I'm going to sell it.
And it's like really a you problem, not the horse
problem.
Yeah,
they wanted push button. And they didn't get push button, Jamie. Didn't get.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just vent for a second about somebody who posts? So I had to leave the horse training page because I was trying to help people like with their horse training problems. And I just got so tired of seeing people leave the advice of like, you need to whip them, you know, or Clinton Anderson lunging for respect. Which basically just beat the crap out of the horse and whatever. All of these things, I just couldn't take it anymore. But I'm still a member of the magical Facebook page called OTTB Connect. And on the OTTB Connect, somebody's like, I bought a horse 3 months ago and the seller told me it was this kind of horse and we tried it out. It was like perfect to her place. And we bring it to their new boarding barn and like it's terrible. And it like rears when my daughter leads it around and it's just, we're scared of it. And it's just a horrible horse. And so all these people give all this advice of like all the terrible things that they need to do to their horse or what's wrong with the horse. And I just asked the simple one question. What do you think, Glenn, would be the problem with a horse that 3 months ago was perfect and has moved to a new owner in a new location and now is rearing up when they're just leading it out of the stall and is generally fractious?
Ulcers.
I proposed the simple question of, no, I know. That was brought up several times.
I'm sure it was.
You give it milky goat weed and whatever. No, so I proposed the question, does the horse get turned out? Well, no, but my daughter walks it, comes and hand
walks
it.
They have no turnout
twice.
For it?
No. No. So they bought this horse that like, you know, was like a normal horse living outside and inside coming in and out. And then they just locked it in a stall. And 3 months later, they're wondering, why is it like so crazy? Yeah. I was the only person who asked that. Like, I need a little more information. Again, you guys get more information. Okay. about things. Okay. Sorry. I was like, and then of course, like she has an excuse for all of the different things that people are saying to do. Oh, well, we tried that, but. And so finally somebody was like, you know what? You don't have a horse problem. Your horse has a you problem.
You know, and that's the answer, isn't it? Like 90% of the time, if we're all being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your horse has a you problem.
Yeah. And, you know, we've all been in the situations where our horse had a us problem too.
Oh, for sure. Yes. My horses still have me problems. It crushes me that Abby comes out to ride Drax and he is perfect every time for her. And I'm like, why does this horse not like that for me? You know, because he's got a me problem. So we're all guilty.
Yeah, we're all guilty. Next one up is our trailer of the week, which we've been doing every week for 10 years. And every week, the trailers keep on coming. This one is in the shape of a box. It is a square rectangular box. It has no top. It has some walls that are completely rusted out. And it has a bottom that are completely rusted out. So it's the color of rust, and it's a convertible open top trailer. Now, I will give it credit. It looks like the jack might work, which might be the first trailer we've ever had where the jack worked.
And what are you talking about? It's not even connected.
Oh, it's on one of those temporary jacks. Oh, you're right. Okay, forget I said that.
And this is
the tires do have air.
It's like metal pallets.
There's two things
together
about this ad that are incredible. They mowed around it, which is the first time we've ever seen that. And the tires have air. So this is a wonderful trailer. This is perfect.
This is a nightmare, Glenn. This is a tetanus nightmare.
That says a trailer for cattle, goat, sheep, or horses, $985 for sale. Cattle, horse, goat, sheep, trailer, 12 foot by 6 foot. It's a small trailer. Oak floor, high metal sides for goats, sheep, etc. It has a rear sliding door, a 2-inch ball coupler, lights, electric brake axle, good tires, solid trailer, only a light surface of rust. Keep in the dry. I think it's too late for keeping it in the dry, actually. The rust has started.
Well, it says kept in the dry, but if you look at the picture, it's actually outside.
Yes. I would not put my horse in this. First of all, I cannot see Scooter standing in an open trailer like this and liking it. I cannot see that at all.
This is a nightmare. There should be no livestock, but you can cart wood around in this, okay? Like, put your motorcycle in the
back. It's way over our budget of $400 for these trailers. By the way, there's this guy. We post these trailers on our Facebook page. And there's this guy that must be going through our Facebook page.
Oh, my
and
God. This is great.
I've written to him several times, and he keeps asking, where's this trailer? I want it. And I keep writing back and saying, we post these as a joke. Nobody should be buying these trailers, but yet he keeps posting on the, and the ads are like 2 years old.
Yeah. So he's going through our Facebook page and he goes, can I get where's that trailer located? And then Glenn writes back, because I can see all the messages. I never respond. And then like a month later, we'll post another video.
I was trying to be nice.
Where's that one at? How much you want? It's not a,
maybe
it's not
a scrap
thing.
Dealer. That's all I can figure. I don't know.
Where's that trailer? How much you want for it?
Laura.
It's not ours. Here, you know what? We should start saving the messages and the phone numbers and just, here you go, call this
Maybe
guy.
Maybe we can make a commission.
we're gonna be the middleman for bad ad trailers.
Laura sent this one in.
This is Laura Berry with a bad ad. Would you like this cow? 425 is going to relocate before calving season 2020. She came with a load of Western origin heifers last fall. She calved right on time and raised a nice calf. Additionally, she is Vibrio lepto boosted, poured, and dewormed. She is ultrasounded safe and calved to an excellent back gene son. Disclaimer. To qualify to own this cow, it would be best if you have both the Chuck Norris and Jason Bourne in your own pedigree. For the first 60 days after she calves, she will hunt you down like a heat-seeking missile. Really, you can run, but you cannot hide from 425. We'll trade for money, tires, T-posts, barbed wires, groceries, guns, ammo, saddles, diesel fuel, or maybe a good mule. Never had a mule, but that sounds fun.
Oh my gosh.
I like the pedigree one thing.
425.
That's very funny. All right, you have the next one.
All right, Kayla sent this one in, and it's called, she wrote it. She wrote this part. Too funny not to share. Here is a Facebook ad. Oh, my God. My child is in the room. I can't say that.
Well, just, you can work around it.
Okay. Because he'll go pinch yourself, yeah, and then I have to pinch myself.
Are you completely black and blue, by the way, from that?
It's definitely a problem. As much as I hate to do this, will this A hat look great in your pasture? Absolutely. Will he try to jump your fencing and fail pathetically? It's likely. Seeking the One, aka Seeker, is a 5-year-old OTTB. He retired sound from racing. First off, I'll let you know that he comes with some baggage. His hobbies include weaving, tosses his head when he's hangry, playing with everything within reach, harassing your friends while you ride together, and last but not least, making funny faces frequently and being an overall goofball.
I think he should go out with your... I think he would be perfect with one of your particular horses.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag damn it, Seeker. Zeus. Now his face. Oh my God. Now his face is in the process of healing from being a dipstick in his stall. Nothing serious, just cosmetic.
These two are brothers.
She's selling Zeus. I have started him on a barrel pattern. He shows promise, not Zeus. He has a knack for jumping. Self started smiley face. That means he jumps out. Seeker is a land whale. Oh, Seeker the land whale is about 16'2", and becomes a giraffe when it's time to clip him, but stands like a very quiet giraffe. I do recommend the latter. He's the kind of horse who can sit for a while and you can hop right on and go. However, it's not recommended because he gets bored and finds ways to injure himself if you've given him too much time off.
Got it, Zeus.
If you want a pasture potato that requires no extra feed, continue on your search, my friend. He will eat everything and all of it. If you want a horse who is kind to fencing, keep on looking. He needs a secure pasture. If you're looking for a horse who will always aim to please, entertain you every waking moment, frustrate you endlessly, and give you the best kisses, this is your man. Trying to recoup some of my moolah, 1K or best offer. Special consideration to the perfect situation. Or a saint.
This is Zeus's kin. Damn it, Zeus.
Oh my gosh. This is Zeus, like in a nutshell. Perfect. I don't need two. If I put two Zeuses on my property, two things would happen. The world might implode upon itself because it can't handle those two forces next to each other, or I'll get a divorce.
Yeah, I think the divorce is going to come first. All right. Heather sent this one in.
Hi, this is Heather, and I'm calling in with a really bad ad. This one I found on Dream Horse. First, I found one that said that there was a horse that was sorrow colored. I don't know if that's what happens when you are too sad and it changes your physical color. I don't know. But otherwise, the ad was kind of unremarkable. And then I found this one. It's for an AQHA stallion whose foal date is 1991. And he's white, but then under other colors and markings, it says that he has pink hair and green eyes. When you go down to the description, oh, and he's for sale for $450, but that's negotiable. It says, looking for a ranch or barn that needs a ranch hand or horse trainer. I use Natural Horsemanship and Liberty Training to get horse and rider connected through mutual respect and positive energy. Not really sure what's for sale there or what sort of the services we're going to get from that. But anyway, thought the whole thing was a little bit questionable. You guys have a happy holidays. Thanks so much.
Some are just plain confusing.
Oh, my God. Most are just plain confusing.
Like the next one. I don't think like I even want to attempt the next one.
It's like... by the way, that is a real breed, but they've spelled it completely wrong.
In the next one?
Yeah.
I don't even know how, every word is spelled wrong. This is okay. Yes. I'll do my best. Chelsea sent this one in. I don't know where it is. Norbert. Do you know where Norbert is? I have no idea.
That's the person. That's the person. Facebook page is Hunter Jumper Dressage Eventing.
Yeah, it doesn't say where. And everything's spelled wrong, so I'm just going to read it phonetically. Very good horse, God character, end super price. Okay, sign for yo. Zengershade Gelding wine bottle. Info, video, PM, okay sign. I can transport help, peace sign. That's it.
And then what is the picture of the horse doing?
Jumping, but it's so blurry you can't see the horse or anything. It looks like an abstract painting, actually. It's just so blurry.
But it's landed. Like, it's like the horse, like, in that landing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the most flattering, and you can't see it anyway, so.
Wary god, horse god, character.
Do you think they were dictating, and this is how it came out? I don't know.
Why wouldn't you proofread?
What's a Zenger shady?
So it's a Zenger. No, I can't say it right. Zenger Shield. Zenger Shield Gelding. Zenger.
I doubt it's spelled anything like this.
It's nothing, but that's messing my brain up looking at that word.
Zenger Shady. All right. Juliana sent the next one, and it's the last one for the day.
Hey, y'all. It's Juliana from Alabama, and I have a really bad ad that shows you how we like to breed down here in the South.
Oh, God.
Okay, wait a minute. It's Juliana. She's from Alabama. She's reading an ad from Alabama, and she's not doing it in the Southern accent. I'm so disappointed.
I detected a little bit, but yeah, okay. She must be new to the area.
It's actually a pretty good picture of a cute and well-cared-for filly, but here goes the menagerie of how this poor, probably special girl came into existence. For sale, AQHA Sorrel Filly, born August 2019. Sire is a grandson of Peppy Sand Badger. A very good quarter horse name, if I do say so myself. And it goes on and on about the AQHA winnings in his line of breeding. But then there's the poor inbred mother. Dam is by the gray stallion Sugar Tricks Leo, by Bars Trixie, by C Bars, by Three Bars. All very good names as well. Now, the dam of the dam is out of the daughter of a triple A AQHA champion, whatever that means, known as Quick Henry, by Sugar Bars, by Three Bars. So if you didn't catch that, the baby mama's daddy is out of Three Bars, and the baby mama's mama is also out of Three Bars.
Doesn't take
a rocket scientist, which we surprisingly have a lot of in Alabama, to know those two shouldn't be bumping uglies. Hashtag gelbatch. Anyway, you can get this bundle of badly mixed chromosomes for only $2,500. Thanks. Hope y'all have a great day.
I'm glad she translated that.
I love her. That's great. Yeah, if you had just read that, so you never would have been able to understand. But yeah, she had to break it down. Like, I think she had a spreadsheet. I would like to point out, I found that, and I've been sitting on it for a while, but I just thought, like, in this, it kind of went right with that one of the names for quarter horses. And the ad says, real nice sorrel 2-year-old solid paint gelding by Okie Dokie Denim by Okie Dokie Dale. Damn, Okie Dokie Denim is the D.E. elegant denim that ran second in the Rainbow Futurity at Redoso Downs.
The Western people really like their names. They really do.
Okie Dokie Denim by Okie Dokie Dale. Damn, Okie Dokie Denim is D.E. elegant denim.
You know, I kind of think, you know what we say about the names reflecting the character of the horse? A horse named Okie Dokie is probably going to be okay. It's going to be just,
I don't know. I'm with the, it's an opposite thing.
Are you? I'm still with it. I'm still with it reflects. Zeus kind of reflects because Zeus was known to break things. So Zeus is kind of reflecting of what he's named after.
Okay. Well, yeah, Drax is kind of a big meathead and Groot is very sensitive and emotional. Yeah, so I think I'm right.
I think it's fine.
But see, I had a little filly that I named Black Beauty because she was black and she is so beautiful. And her actual registered name was Graceful Flyer. And that damn horse was the most uncoordinated fall over just
well,
walking
there are
down
exceptions
the street
to the naming rule. Yeah. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes you name your kid something you really shouldn't have too. That they get beat up for the whole time, their entire time they're in high school. So,
like Glenn,
that'd be one of them.
Oh my God, you guys have a great weekend.
We'll be back
We're glad
on Monday.
To be back. Talk to you soon. Spay, neuter, geld. Oh, also submitted Matt, Ashley, Stephanie, Zachary, and Stephanie, another Stephanie. You guys are all in.
Oh, we forgot to do what we learned today.
Dang it.
Well, okie dokie.